I amended, because it was closer to the truth. "Which is why it's up to me to fix it," he said. "It's not you, Ox. Why you can't feel them. Not yet. It's me. I divided us. And I'm trying to fix it." "How?" He grinned. "Communing with nature, of course." "I still don't get it," I said, thinking about my father. He said, "Hey, Ox, that's okay. I get it enough for the both of us. I'll fix this. I'll fix everything. You trust me, right?" Most might not have heard the doubt in his voice, the little sliver that pushed its way in at the end, but I'd known him since he was 10 years old. We were just Ox and Joe, and I knew him, probably better than anyone else, even if he wasn't the boy who'd left that day years ago. There really was only one answer to his question. So I said, "Yeah, Joe, I guess I do." Sometimes when I couldn't sleep, even with Joe beside me, I'd walk out into the trees. Gordo didn't like that I did that, but I told him I wasn't worried, because I had faith in his wards, that I had faith in him. He'd said he would deny till his dying day if I told anyone that he got choked up over that. On nights like that, I'd put on some shorts and one of Joe's shirts. I'd kiss him on the forehead as he slept on. I'd head outside into the dark, the air cool on my skin. And I'd just walk. It usually took less than an hour before a white wolf would catch up to me, padding along beside me, brushing up against me. We didn't speak much, but he was always there until we crawled back up into bed. Sometimes he'd shift back. Other times, he'd stay as a wolf and we'd lie on the floor since the bed was too small. I'd take the blankets down, and he'd curl up next to me, his gigantic head on my chest, rising and falling with every breath I took, red eyes watching me until I drifted off back to sleep. Nothing came for us in that first month, or the second. There were rumors, whispers. "They tracked him north," Michelle Hughes told us over Skype, "toward Canada." I frowned at the screen. "That doesn't make any sense. Why would he be heading away from us?" "He's not," Joe said, a faraway look in his eyes. "No," Michelle said. "I don't think he is." "A distraction," I said. "Misdirection, more like," Michelle said. She looked tired, dark circles under her eyes. "I don't know what he's planning, but it's not anything good. My teams went north, but the trail just ended. One moment they thought they were close, and the next there was nothing there." "How can he do that?" I asked. "Can you fake a specific wolf's scent?" "Magic," Joe said. "Robert Livingstone," Michelle agreed. "Most likely. Joe, are you sure we can't come to—" "We've already talked about this," Joe said, eyes flashing crimson. "And you're being stupid about it," she growled right back. "I have the people here I trust," he said. "That's all we need." I hoped he was right. There was a trust there, however small, however fragile, but it was starting to build. I saw it in the way the humans began to relax around Carter and Kelly. They looked less tense, less suspicious. I saw it in the way that Gordo laughed at something Rico said, or the way he bumped shoulders with Chris as they walked side by side, or the way he hugged Tanner wherever they said goodbye. I saw it in the way Robbie grew shy any time Kelly walked into the room, blushing slightly, eyes darting toward the ground. Kelly would always look confused at this, but he never pushed it. I saw it in the way we moved together. We weren't in sync, not yet, but we were getting there. We were finding the rhythm, the cadence we needed. I didn't quite understand it myself, but their eyes were always on whatever doorway I walked through, like they were expecting me, They did the same with Joe. It was in the way they spoke. Carter said, "You can feel it, can't you? The bonds, the threads. I've never had this ox. I've never had a pack this big." Kelly said, "I don't understand. Why does he keep making those faces at me? Why does he stutter every time I try talking to him? I didn't do anything to Robbie. I don't get why he's acting weird." Robbie said, "I don't even know what to say to him. I don't even know him. Anytime I try and talk to him, I forget how to talk, and, oh my God, are you laughing at me? You're a fucking bastard, Ox, I swear to God." Jesse said, "I tried going out with some girlfriends. We were at dinner, and they were laughing about, I don't know what. And all I could think about was how they weren't there, you know? They weren't in my head, like the others. And it was empty for me. Ox, I swear to God, if you've ruined a normal life for me outside of this, I will punch you in your spleen." Chris said, "She'll do it too, trust me. When she was 7, I accidentally..." "Ow! Fine, it was on purpose. Stop hitting me, for fuck's sake." "Left one of her Barbies on a heating vent? It melted its face and looked... well, it looked just awesome. She didn't think so. I still have a scar on my elbow from where she attacked me with her fingernails." Tanner said, "He's different, Gordo. Maybe it's just because I know about the whole witch thing now. Maybe that colors it. But I don't know if that's all of it. He's different, you know, since he came back. He's quieter and more centered, maybe. I think he needed a pack, Ox. I know he had us, but I don't think it was the same. I think his magic needed someone." Gordo said, "I couldn't breathe. When we were gone, not like I can here. Not like I can when I'm with you. I know you get it. I know we don't really talk about stuff like this, feelings or whatever. It's not who we are. But Ox, you let me breathe. I never wanted to leave you. I just, I had a pack. That night, something. I did what I had to do, or my magic did. I bound myself to him, to Joe. But I need you to know, I was always bound to you first." Rico said, "If you had told me 5 years ago that I'd be in a werewolf pack with a kid half my age as my alpha, who was also butt-fucking the other alpha? Don't you glare at me like that, Ox, you know it's true. I would have asked if I could have some of whatever you were on. Life is strange. Green Creek is strange." Elizabeth said, "I started painting again. First time in 3 years. I picked up a paintbrush, and it didn't scare me. Oh sure, the idea of creating something new is always scary, but the act itself is cathartic, liberating. I don't know what phase I'm in now, Ox, but I'm going to do my best to find out. Maybe green. I feel green, Ox. Do you feel it too?" Joe said, "I can feel them." Joe said, "I can feel all of them." Joe said, "Little pinpricks of light." Joe said, "My father taught me an alpha is only as strong as his pack." Joe said, "Ox, Ox, don't you see? Can't you feel it? Our pack is strong." Joe said, "And it can only get stronger, I think." Joe said, "I think he would have been proud, Dad. I think he would have been proud of me. Of you. Of us." Mark said, "It's your heartbeat." "What?" I asked, glancing up at Mark, who sat across from me in the diner. Mark had wandered into the shop, telling me he was taking me to lunch. I wasn't surprised when we sat in the same booth he'd sat in the day I'd met him. Things seemed to work out that way. He was watching me with those same eyes I'd first seen when I'd barely been able to grasp the scope of the world. "How they move. How we move." I frowned. Did I say that out loud?
No.
I sighed. Of course not. Fucking werewolves. He grinned. I know these things.
I know you do. At what cost, though, Mark? I'll tell you the cost. My sanity. And my fucking privacy.
Should have thought of that before you became an alpha.
Like I had a choice in the matter.
His smile softened. You had a choice, Ox. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah, I said.
The waitress came over and took our orders. She smiled flirtatiously at Mark, but he just ordered a tuna melt and didn't react.
I'm also your second, he said as she walked away. The enforcer. That's how I know these things.
That gave me pause, because we'd never discussed that.
He waited.
And really, it made sense.
Okay, then.
You really didn't know that?
I never really thought about it.
You still don't have to, he pointed out. It doesn't change things.
Who is Joe's?
Never mind.
Carter.
Mark looked pleased.
Heartbeats? I reminded him.
It's how a pack works, he said. How we move in sync with each other.
I don't understand.
It's your heartbeat, Mark said. And Joe's. We move with you because we listen to the sound of your heart.
But the humans...
They follow our lead, he said. And yours. Until it becomes second nature.
That's what we did with Thomas, I asked quietly.
Because suddenly things made much more sense. How we'd been with him. How they were with me. How Carter, Kelly, and Gordo were with Joe.
Mark said,
Yes. You didn't hear it. Not like we could. But you moved with us. Over time. And now we do it with you. And Joe. We became lost in our own thoughts then. The waitress eventually brought out our food. Mark's foot was pressed up against mine. Touching. Always touching. I looked down at my soup and said,
I'm glad we're friends. Still, after all this time.
He didn't say anything, but he didn't have to. I think the pounding of my heart spoke for the both of us. At some point during the third month, we became cohesive. There were still times where we clashed. You couldn't have 12 people together like that and always get along. But the clashes were few and far between, and were always shut down before they could escalate into something more. Most stayed at either the Bennett house or the old house, more often than they didn't. Joe and I didn't think to move from my old bedroom, even though the bed was too cramped. We fell asleep together. We woke together. We would rise in the mornings, him to take the wolves out into the woods, me to lead the boys to the garage, Jesse to work, a line of cars rolling through Green Creek in the early hours. No matter what, though, every morning Joe would touch the wolf he'd given me, that little stone wolf that sat on my desk. He'd run his fingers over it, over the head and down the back to the tail. There would be a look of such reverence on his face, like he couldn't believe I'd kept it, that I still wanted to keep it. Without fail, we'd be late, because I'd have him pressed up against a wall, groaning as I sucked on his tongue. He'd push for more, for me to fuck him, for him to fuck me. But I couldn't. Not yet. I'd seen what had happened to Elizabeth when Thomas had died. I'd seen how far she'd gone into her wolf. If something happened to me now, well, I knew they would be upset. They'd feel it down to their bones. Joe might not recover. Or he would, and be stronger for it. But if we were mated, and something happened to me, I didn't think Joe could come back from that. Because being mated meant being more than we were now. He wanted it. I knew that. I wanted it more than anything else. But I couldn't do that to him. Just in case. I couldn't take that chance. Most likely we'd always have something over our heads. But I couldn't think of anything worse than Richard Collins.
I told myself again and again that once he was gone, I would take everything Joe would give me. Because Richard would be gone. He wouldn't take this from me. From us. We were stronger than we'd ever been before. We were together. We were a pack like we'd never been before. All of us. We worked together. We lived together. We ate together. We were a family. And I'd already lost too many people to ever allow anyone else to be taken from me again. If it meant giving up my own life to make sure they were safe, then fine. So be it. As long as they were safe, I would have done my job as Alpha. I didn't want to die, but I wanted them to live more. And there was guilt with that. Because I was there at night when the nightmares came. Joe Bennett was 21 years old, but he still dreamed of the things that had been done to him. Whenever he would start thrashing and whimpering, caught in the claws of whatever was in his head, I would wrap myself around him, holding him tightly, whispering in his ear that he was safe, that he was home, that I would never let anything happen to him, not while I still breathed. He would always sleep deeper after that. Safe while I watched over him. This was my family. These people were my pack. I would have done anything for them. Which is why, when Richard Collins came again, he came for me. Chapter 32. Beast. The Beast said, "Hello, Ox." My grip tightened on the phone. I tried to keep my heart from racing. The wolves were in the woods, running in the early afternoon sun. The full moon had been 6 days before, and they were working off excess energy that still coursed through them. The humans were sprawled out around me. Gordo was farther away, sitting cross-legged, eyes closed as he took in deep, slow breaths, his fingers curling in the grass below him. It was a peaceful day. Soon, we would go back home to start dinner. It was a Sunday. It was tradition. Elizabeth had found a new meatloaf recipe she wanted to try. I was going to make a cucumber salad. I said, "Hello." Richard Collins laughed quietly. "I can hear them. The way they breathe around you. The wolves are farther. But if I strain... if I listen hard enough, I'm sure I could hear Carter and Kelly, Mark, Elizabeth, Robbie, is it? The new one? The new beta bitch of yours? And Joe, of course. The prodigal son returned home to the land of his father. A prince, and the kingdom of the fallen king. Tell me, Oxnard, does it burn? Knowing I put my hands on him first. Does it just curdle your stomach to know my fingers traced his skin before you ever could?" I said, "Maybe, but never again." Richard said, "Oh, Ox, tell me you don't really believe that. Listen, are you listening?" "Yes. I want you to leave them. Now, we have much to discuss, you and I."
"Ox?" I snapped my head up. Rico was looking at me. "Everything okay?" he asked. I nodded and gave him a tight smile. "Just gotta take this," I said, trying to keep anything from leaking through the bonds. Alphas, I'd been taught, could dull even the strongest of their emotions so as not to put them on their betas, their pack. I thought, my mother was a wonderful woman. I thought, she was great and very kind. I thought, I love my family. I thought, Joe came home. He's home and he's here to stay. I thought, I won't let anyone hurt them, because pack, because love, because home. My heartbeat slowed. The back of my neck was slick with sweat. My skin felt tight, but my heartbeat still slowed. Rico cocked his head at me. Jesse looked up with a frown.
I'll be right back, okay? I said. I even smiled, a terrible false thing that felt too wide.
They nodded. I pushed myself up to my feet, keeping the phone at my ear as I walked away from all of them, in the opposite direction of the wolves. I could hear every breath he took, the scrape of his tongue against his teeth. I thought of calming things, like how the cucumber salad would taste, crisp and sweet, like tradition even. The sweat trickled down my back. The sunlight burned through the trees. I thought all the birds had fallen silent, that the entire forest had fallen silent, but it was just the blood rushing in my ears. I felt like I walked for days in the trees. It was only minutes. I said, I'm alone, and away.
Are you? He asked. I'll be honest, I expected a bit more resistance from you.
I could be lying.
You could be, Richard said. But you're not. Your heart is remarkably steady. In fact, the control you seem to be exhibiting is extraordinary. How is it that you can do what you do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, he said harshly. You don't get to do that. You don't get to play me like that, Oxnard. Not today. Not ever. You think you know what I'm capable of, but you have no idea. I told you, Ox, I am the monster.
I don't give a damn who you are. You will never...
Do you know Mr. Fordham?
That stopped me, because I didn't understand. Mr. Fordham was an old guy that came into the garage every now and then. I remembered when Gordo had given him a reduced price on the catalytic converter, because Mr. Fordham hadn't been able to afford it. That was just the type of person Gordo had been. Still was, even. And the look on Mr. Fordham's face had been something extraordinary. So sweet and kind, and just grateful at what Gordo had done for him. When he'd heard Gordo was back in town, he'd come in and shook his hand and just talked to him.
Ox, Richard said softly. I asked you a question.
Yes, I said, feeling detached. I know him.
Did you know that he had a doctor's appointment today? One he needed to leave Green Creek for. He's an older man, you know. The heart tends not to tick like it used to. He's also rather fearless, if you ask me. Especially in light of all my teeth.
No.
What did you do?
He laughed.
Ox, I haven't done anything yet. But I will now. Here, say goodbye.
The phone was shuffled for a moment as I gripped my own tighter. The sun was too bright. Everything felt too real. Then,
Ox?
A wavering voice said.
Mr. Fordham, I breathed. You listen to me, boy, he said, like he had a spine of steel. I don't know who he is or what he wants, but you don't give it to him. You hear me? You don't give it to him. His eyes, Ox, his eyes are colors I can't even imagine. He can't get in. They can't get in. So the only way is for you to come out. So don't you do it. Don't you do it.
There was a wet slap against the phone. I knew that sound. The sound of the skin on a neck separating. The sound of blood spilling. Mr. Fordham, 80 years old if he was a day, choked as he died. I could hear the rattle in his throat.
Ox, Richard said. Are you still there?
I'll kill you, I said. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Well, you'll certainly try,
Richard said, sounding amused.
I must admit, Ox, I've never really met one such as yourself. I may have underestimated you the day when I killed your mother. That's not something I'll do again. And, there it is. Oh, ox, your heart. It's beating so fast. It was. It was. It was, and I couldn't stop it. The anger. The rage. I thought maybe I understood now why Joe did what he did. Why he left. What he knew he needed to do, even if it meant tearing himself from everything and everyone he knew. I got it now. Because I could do the same. I was not a wolf. But I wanted to give myself over to the wolf so bad. I said, "What do you want?"
"That's better," Richard said. "Because it is about what I want. It's simple, Ox. You will come to me, and you will come alone.
I won't let you use me to bring Joe. I will never let you have him."
"It's not about Joe. It's about you, Ox."
A meadowlark sang out somewhere overhead, a thin and aching song.
"What about me? I'm nothing. I'm not..."
"They kept you from me," Richard said, "and it might have stayed that way. But they didn't count on David King. They never even thought about him. Do you know what he told me, Ox, while I spilled his blood? He was begging me to stop. Begging me to just let him go. Please, to please just stop. I'll do anything you want. Please, please, please."
His voice had gone high-pitched and mocking before he chuckled.
"He did tell me things, Ox. Before I tore his head from his body, he told me things about you."
I said nothing, because I knew where this was going. I closed my eyes and wished it wasn't so.
"Alpha,"
Richard breathed in my ear.
"There you are," Elizabeth said.
I stood in the doorway to the kitchen. I could hear the others moving around outside, and upstairs, and in the living room.
"Sorry," I said. "Phone call I had to take. Work thing."
I kept my voice even. I kept my heart steady. I was in a house of wolves, and they would know everything if I let the mask slip even the slightest.
"Everything all right?"
I smiled at her.
"Everything is fine."
Her gaze lingered a moment before she nodded.
"Well, this dinner won't cook itself. Get to work, Ox. There's much to be done."
"Hey." I looked up from the onions I was dicing. Joe arched an eyebrow at me, leaning against the counter. He crossed his arms over his chest, muscles bulging from the residual pull of the moon. He was beautiful, because he was Joe. He was beautiful, because he was mine.
"Hey," I said, and it was getting harder already. I didn't know how I was going to get through this.
"Where'd you go?"
"Phone call," I said as I shrugged. "Took longer than I thought."
"Yeah? Work thing?"
I nodded, not daring to speak. I looked back down at the onions.
"Joe," Elizabeth scolded, "stop distracting my help. He's going to cut something off if you keep posing like that. Don't be gross in my kitchen. Go find something else to do."
Joe blushed and started sputtering. I tightened my grip on the knife and swallowed through the lump in my throat.
"I wasn't posing," Joe said.
"Totally posing," Elizabeth said.
"Ox?"
"Totally posing," I managed to say.
"Fine," he said. "I can tell when I'm not wanted."
"No," I almost said. "You're always wanted. I always want you. I never want to leave you. I never want to say goodbye. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm so sorry."
I said, "For just a little while."
"Yeah," Joe said. "And then you'll want me? I feel so used."
I nodded.
"Hey," he said, and he was right by my side, pressed up against me, nose pressed against my neck. "I was just joking. You know I don't mean it like that."
"Yeah,"
I said. He kissed my jaw. "I'll leave you to it then. And later, I'll let you show me how much you want me."
He smacked my ass, and cackled as he left the room. We sat down to Sunday dinner, all 12 of us, because it was tradition. It was what the pack did. I sat at the head of the table. Joe was at my right. I told him before that he should have his father's chair. He'd shaken his head and said I looked good where I was. No one tried to say he should have sat at the opposite end of the table, like his mother and father had. It felt better to have him at my side. The table was cluttered with food. Our pack laughed and smiled as they served themselves and each other. They fell silent, one by one, waiting. The alphas always took the first bite. For the wolves, it was instinct. For the humans, it was now routine. No one ever complained, because it was just how things were. I picked up my fork. I could do this. I had to do this. I put down the fork because I couldn't do this. Not without saying goodbye. Joe's hand covered mine. I looked up at him. He was watching me, concern on his face. Ox? I said, sorry, it's been a long day. I'm a little tired. You sure? I gave him a small smile. Yeah, I said. I'm sure. I hoped it was enough for him to believe me. I turned away from him to the others. I said, I don't talk very much, or a lot. It's something my dad broke in me, I think. Sometimes it's hard for me to think of the right thing to say. I get worried that I'll just make things worse. Joe squeezed my hand. I said, so I don't say what I should. Like how much I love you. All of you. How much I need you. How there are days I can't believe you put your trust in me. Your faith. Because I'm just Ox, you know. My daddy told me once that I was gonna get shit. All my life. And for a long time I did. And I thought maybe that's all there was. But then I found people. People who didn't care that I was a little slower than others, that I was bigger, that I said stupid shit. And I just... You're my family, okay? You're my family. My pack. And whatever happens, whatever comes our way, I need you to remember that. That you have each other, no matter what. My mouth felt dry, my tongue thick. Joe's grip on my hand would leave bruises if he kept it up. Elizabeth was wiping her eyes. Mark had that secret smile on his face. Robbie looked at me like he was in awe. Carter and Kelly smiled dopily, like they were teenage boys again, like they hadn't been to hell and back. Rico, Tanner, and Chris had their heads bowed. Jessie had her arm around her brother's shoulder, pressing her forehead against his cheek. And Gordo. Gordo, Gordo, Gordo. He was frowning. I said, and now that it's awkward. People laughed. I made a show of taking the first bite. Joe's hand never left mine. And Gordo never looked away. The Bennett boys were doing the dishes. The humans were on their way to their own homes. Robbie and Mark were in the library. Elizabeth was painting, and it was green, green, green. Gordo said, "Walk with me, Ox." I hesitated. He jerked his head toward the front door. I sighed, but followed him out. He waited until we knew we were out of earshot of the wolves. He said, I know you. The day was beginning to darken. Long time, I said, unsure where this was going. And we tell each other most things, because that's the way we are. Sure, Gordo. Is there anything you want to tell me now? I forced myself to look at him. What do you mean? He narrowed his eyes at me. I'm not stupid, Ox. I never said you were. Something's wrong. With what? You? I snorted. Many things. Ox, he warned me. Don't be flip.
I'm not trying to be. Gordo, there's always something wrong, but nothing more than usual.
I need you to tell me, Ox. I can't help you if you don't tell me what's wrong.
I sighed. It's nothing, okay? I'm just tired. The full moon, work, everything. It happens every now and then. Shit just comes back and piles on. I just need to go to bed early tonight. I'll be better tomorrow.
And you'd tell me, right? If something was wrong?
Not if it meant keeping him safe. Keeping all of them safe.
Sure, Gordo, I said, the lie tasting like ash on my tongue.
He watched me for a moment longer, his gaze cool and calculating, before he shook his head.
Fine. Just don't do that shit to me, Ox. For fuck's sake, you sounded like you were saying goodbye at dinner. I just... Just don't do that to me.
Yeah, I coughed. Just tired. All those things come out when I'm tired.
He rolled his eyes. Well, go put your feelings all over Joe where they belong.
God, I wish I hadn't said that.
I laughed, real and true. Gordo tried to push by me to head back to the house, but I grabbed his arm and pulled him into a hug. He let out a grunt of surprise, but his arms wrapped around my back immediately, and he gave just as good as he got.
What did Gordo want?
Joe asked me as we walked toward the old house. The sun was almost gone. The stars were coming out above us. The wind blew through the trees. They swayed back and forth.
Shop talk, I said.
Shop talk, Joe said. Sounds exciting.
Ass. He grinned fondly at me, taking my hand in his.
Just giving you shit.
I know.
You gotta keep it up anyway, if I'm going to be your kept boy.
That's a terrible plan. You should just get a job.
GED first, Ox, he said, like we hadn't talked about it a million times already. Then online college. Then probably pick up where Dad left off. We don't need the money right now.
I know, I said. You'll do good.
Yeah? I leaned over and kissed his cheek. His stubble scraped against my lips.
Yeah. Maybe then I could be the kept boy.
He laughed and shoved me away. My phone went off. Just a single beep. Joe lay on the couch, his head in my lap, eyes closed as I ran my fingers through his hair. He'd started growing it out again, and there was almost enough there for me to hold on to. The TV was on, the sound muted. I picked up the phone where I'd set it next to me. I had one new text message. It was from an unknown number.
You've had enough time.
I didn't let my hands shake. I said, shit. Joe opened his eyes.
What?
His voice was rough and wonderful.
Jesse.
What about Jesse?
She got a flat tire, and she doesn't have a jack.
Shit. All right, give me a second and we can...
Now, I said. Don't worry about it. It won't take long.
You sure?
I nodded, looking down at him. You'll see. I'll be back before you know it.
He opened his mouth to speak, but then frowned.
Weird.
What? Your heart just skipped when you said that, like... He shook his head.
Never mind. I'm just tired, I guess.
As long as you don't plan on running off with her, I'll let you go. This once.
Never, I said, though I thought I was breaking. I'll never want anyone else but you.
He smiled up at me.
You're such a sap today.
Hurry up and go, so you can come back. If I'm not asleep, I'll suck you off.
Wow, with an offer like that, I should be running out the door.
Damn right. He let me lift up his head and move from the couch, putting one of the pillows under him to take the place of my lap. I knelt down next to the couch, cupping his face in my hands. I leaned forward and kissed him. He sighed happily, hand coming up to scratch at the back of my head. He pressed his tongue against my lips, Just once, and I pulled away. I ran my thumbs over his eyebrows, his cheeks, his lips. He hummed softly. Safe. Content. I love you, I said. Because if there was one thing I hated, one thing I blamed myself for more than anything else, it was that I hadn't told him this every day, multiple times a day. It was a rare thing between us. We didn't need to say it out loud to know how we felt, but that shouldn't have stopped me.
Yeah?
He asked, kissing my thumb before taking it between his teeth and biting gently. He let it go and said,
I love you too, Ox. You're my mate. And one day soon, I'm going to show you that.
I had to go before I couldn't. I kissed him again, stood, picked my keys up off the coffee table, took a step back. His eyes were already closing.
I'll wait for you, he mumbled.
My throat closed. I turned and left before he could see the shine in my eyes.
Alpha.
What?
I know you're an alpha.
I'm not. I'm human. I am nothing.
Don't lie to me. I don't know how you did it. I don't know what makes you different. But you are an alpha. Human or not. An alpha in the Bennett territory, no less.
What do you want?
I have 6 more people from your town.
You fucking asshole.
I will kill them, Ox. I will kill each and every single one of them. I will make you listen while I tear their arms from their bodies. Ox, one of them is a child. Surely you wouldn't want to be responsible for the death of a child.
You goddamn animal.
Oh, Ox, I know this about myself. And if you're just now figuring that out, you're a bit late to the game.
You won't get away with this.
I won't. Ox, I already have.
What do you want?
You. I want you. If I can't take the Alpha from Joe, I will take it from you. You will come to me, alone, and I won't harm these people. This child. Can you hear them, Ox? They're crying because they're scared. Because I've already made the child bleed. Just a scratch. But enough to show them how serious I am. To them. To you. Can you see now, Ox, how serious I am?
You won't ever get to Joe. The wards will keep you out. Even if you're an alpha, it doesn't matter who you have with you. Gordo won't...
Ox, Ox. Ox, you are missing the entire point. I don't care about Joe. I don't care about your territory. All I care about is that you are a Bennett in all but name. All I care about is taking from you the one thing Thomas Bennett never wanted me to have. Hell, let me have this, and I won't harm a single member of your pack.
And you expect me to believe you?
You said it yourself, Ox. I can't pass the wards. Frankly, whether or not you believe me isn't a concern of mine. Can you really go on, knowing these innocent people will die because of you?
I...
Ox, you were never meant to be an alpha. I can take this all away. Your pack will be safe. These people will be safe. Green Creek will be safe. And Joe, it'll hurt, I'm sure. At first, loss always does. That sharp stab of pain that guts you. But he's strong. Stronger than even I gave him credit for. He'll live, because he'll have a pack that will need him. One day, he'll smile again at the thought of you. At the memory of you.
I can just... Can't I just give it to you?
I'm afraid there isn't time. I know of only one way to truly take the power of an alpha. It's an unfortunate side effect, death is, but I'm sure you can understand. I can promise I'll even make it as painless as possible.
I can't just leave them. They're my...
Do you hear her screaming? She's the mother ox. Her child is watching as I cut her.
Stop it. Oh my God, stop it. You fucking bastard. Leave them alone.
I'll give you the remainder of the day. I know how much tradition meant to Thomas. So have it. Say your goodbyes. But Ox, I swear to you, if I even catch the barest of hints that you've deceived me, I will kill them all. And then I will find a way to break these wards. No matter how long it takes, I will break them, and I will slaughter every single person you love. I will save you for last. I will make you watch as your pack dies in front of you, and all the while, you'll be mired in the knowledge that it's because of you that you could have prevented this. And when I get to Joe, I will fuck him until he's broken. I will fuck him until he smells of nothing but me. And then I will rip his heart from his chest. You'll watch as I eat it. And then, and only then, when you are shattered at the loss of your pack, at the way every single one was torn from you, I will begin on you. I'll start at your feet and work my way up. And by the time I get to your fucking knees, you will be begging me to kill you. And I will say no. Do you believe me? Do you believe I'll do that?
Yes.
Good. That's real good, Ox. Have your last hours. Not a single word. I won't touch the people here. Not unless you make me. Your pack will never be safe if you do. You can't keep them locked in Green Creek forever, Ox. One day, someone will slip, and I will be waiting. You do this now, and I promise you, they will be safe from me.
When?
When I summon you. I'm a monster, Ox, but I'm not that bad. I'll give you time, with those you love.
Where?
The wooden bridge, where I can smell the spilled blood of Omegas. Mine, maybe. Or they could have been. Was this you, Ox? Did you defend your territory like a good alpha? It's buried in the dirt, but I can almost taste the fear, the pain, the anger. It tastes like Joe did when I had him. I licked the sweat from his head. Did he ever tell you that? I didn't go further, but it was a close thing. Every time I snapped one of his little fingers, I wanted to stuff him full of my...
That's enough.
Ooh, I can feel it. You are an alpha. The goosebumps, Ox. They are crawling along my skin. I wish there was time to find out how you did it, how you became an alpha on your own. But alas, there isn't. I would just hate to prolong the inevitable. It would sour the taste of you. Take the time you need. I will let you know when to come. Remember, Ox, not a word, or I will make them all suffer. I'll see you soon.
Foolish, yes. But if there was even the smallest chance Richard was being truthful, that he wouldn't hurt them, wouldn't hurt Joe, I had to take it. And I couldn't let innocent people die when I could do something to stop it. Thomas had taught me that there was value in all lives, that it was an alpha's responsibility to care for those in his territory, even if they didn't know what an alpha was. Green Creek was mine. The people here were mine. I had already failed Mr. Fordham. I couldn't let that happen to anyone else. I waited until I left the dirt road, the truck's tires kicking up dust before they rolled onto asphalt, before I started to mute the bonds between myself and the pack, one by one. We did that sometimes, when we wanted privacy, when we were being intimate, when we wanted to be alone, when we wanted to not be overwhelmed by the continuous feeling of pack, 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 when we wanted to keep secrets. I rarely did this, and I knew it wouldn't be long before questions were asked. Green Creek was almost empty this late. The moon was half full. The street lamps along the main drag burned softly. I didn't see any other cars moving. The diner was lit up almost like a beacon. I saw a waitress moving around inside as I passed by. She held a pot of coffee in her hands. She was smiling. About what, I'd never know. My mother sat in the seat beside me. She said,
"Are you sure about this?"
I said, "For them? Always." She said,
"I thought as much."
And,
"I love you."
And,
"I am so proud of you."
And,
"You've got a soap bubble on your ear."
And she laughed. And it was a beautiful sound. A joyful sound. And it was so much like her that my eyes burned and my throat closed. But she wasn't really there at all. I passed out of the lights of Green Creek. Red eyes looked at me from the passenger seat. Thomas said,
"An alpha is only as strong as his pack."
I said,
"I know."
Thomas said,
"You are one of the strongest alphas I've ever met."
I said, "Am I strong enough to do this?" Thomas said,
"Are you going to do this?"
I said,
"Yes."
He said,
"Then you're strong enough."
And,
"You're my son, just the same as the others."
And,
"We'll sing together soon, I promise you. It'll fill your heart."
And his eyes flashed red again, because even in death, he would always be an alpha. My alpha. The bridge was a couple of miles away when I pulled over to the side of the road. I had one last thing to do. The seat was empty next to me. They hadn't really been there. I knew that, but I thought maybe I wasn't alone. I picked up my phone. I typed two words to Joe, and two words only, because I knew he'd understand. He'd find it in the morning when he woke, since I'd turned his phone off before I left. I stared at the screen, hesitating. I didn't think I could do this. What if I couldn't do this? What if I couldn't keep them safe? I hit send. The message disappeared, relayed into towers and then the ether. I turned off my phone. I hoped he didn't hate me for this. I hoped he could forgive me one day. I hoped he would find happiness again. He'd know what the two words meant, because he'd sent the same thing to me when he'd known what had to be done. I pulled back onto the road and continued toward the old bridge. And I thought those two words over and over again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The road to the bridge was empty as I approached. There were no street lamps out here, only the moon and the stars. It was very dark. My headlights lit up the bridge, 30 feet away. It was empty too. But I could feel them. A poison on the land that had somehow become mine. It was a blight against the grass and the trees and the leaves that shuddered in the wind, a wound that was festering. I turned off the truck. I left the lights on. The engine ticked. I breathed evenly and slowly. Thomas and Mom didn't come back. I wished they would, even if they hadn't been real. I didn't want to walk this alone. The pack bonds were completely cut off. I felt cold and empty. I hadn't felt like this in a long time. I took the crowbar out from underneath the seat. It felt smaller than it had ever been before. I opened the door of the old truck. It screeched in the quiet night. I stepped out onto the dirt road. I did not tremble. I did not shake. I gripped the crowbar tightly and closed the door to the truck. I moved toward the front of the truck, the headlights stretching my shadow until I looked like a giant against the wooden bridge. I felt the moment I passed through the wards, like walking through a spider web. They brushed along my skin, and then the moment was over. There were crickets in the grass, and they creaked. I did not falter. The crowbar was cold in my hands. A flash of violet off in the trees, blinking once, then again. Then another pair, and another pair, and another. They came then, out of the shadows. There were 10 of them. Omegas. More feral than I'd ever seen before. Their eyes were continuously violet. They were half-shifted, slobbering through fang-filled mouths. 6 humans were pushed out in front of them. Their hands were bound behind them. They had gags in their mouths. 5 adults, 1 child. They all looked terrified, eyes wide and cheeks streaked with tears. 2 men, 3 women, a little boy. I recognized them, all of them. I'd seen them in Green Creek. They came into the garage. I ran into them in the grocery store. We passed by each other on the street. We waved hello. We waved goodbye. We said things like, "Have a good day," and "It's nice to see you again," and "I hope everything is well with you." Mr. Fordham wasn't with them, because Mr. Fordham had been murdered while I listened. They looked relieved at the sight of me, the humans. I wasn't their alpha, not before, but I would be now, at least for as long as I had left. The little boy, William, his name was, his mother, Judith. I said, "Hey, it's okay. It's all right. I know it's scary, I know, but I'm here now. I'm here now, and I promise I will do everything I can to make it okay. Just have faith in me. I will take care of you." The Omegas snarled as they laughed. They scraped their claws against human skin, leaving welts but not drawing blood. The humans cried, tears and snot on their terrified faces. The Omegas stopped in front of the bridge, standing behind the humans. They forced them to their knees in the dirt. Claws curled onto the human shoulders. The one behind William was bigger than the others, and meaner looking. He curved his claws around the boy's face, fingers hooking under his chin. He caressed the claw on his thumb along William's cheek, dimpling the skin. It wouldn't take much. Just the slightest pressure, and William could be. Another man came out. I wondered at the dramatics of werewolves, these ones especially, revealing themselves slowly. It was probably Richard's idea, to come out one by one. He knew what seeing Osmond's face would do to me. He was playing a game, and I was falling for it, because it was taking all I had not to launch myself at Osmond. The years hadn't been kind to Osmond. He looked haggard, smaller than I'd remembered him, thinner. There were dark circles under his eyes. He seemed twitchy, hands flexing and then curling into fists again and again. I remembered the first time I'd met him, the look on his face when he realized Joe had given me his wolf, the disgust, the disdain. He'd probably gone right to Richard after, told him everything, told him how Thomas had held him up against the side of the house at the end of the lane, snarling in his face, telling him that I was worth something, that I mattered, that just because I was human didn't make me any less than the wolves that surrounded me. Thomas had stood up for me, and then Osmond had betrayed him. I thought how easy it would be to bring the crowbar down upon his head, just to see the skin and skull split, the spray of blood. I'd be torn apart, sure. I probably wouldn't even make it over to him before I was surrounded by Omegas. But I could try. I really could. His eyes flashed like he could hear my thoughts. They were violet, just like the others. I said, Your eyes. He flinched, like he hadn't expected me to speak. Was it worth it? The Omegas laughed again. Osman said,
It doesn't matter.
His voice was quiet.
What's done is done.
What's done is done. Like my mother. Like Thomas. Oh, the rage I felt. The anger. It must have been radiating off me. And even though the Omegas weren't mine, even though I was not their alpha, I was still an alpha. And their shoulders tensed, and they whimpered, and they whined at the sight of me. Osmond looked to cower, but stopped himself at the last moment.
Enough,
he said harshly to the Omegas. They barked and yipped at him in return.
How did you do it? Osmond asked me. How did you become an alpha? How do you sleep at night? I asked him, knowing you did what you did.
I sleep very well.
Lie, I said. You don't look good, Osmond.
This isn't going to end well for you. You have to know that by now. I smiled at him. He flinched again.
Maybe not, I said. But I know who I am. Can you say that?
We looked into you, Matheson. No wolves. No one in your family was ever a wolf. I said nothing. We thought that it could be the witch. You were part of his coven, his pack, even before you knew the wolves. But there isn't magic strong enough to create an alpha. Believe me, he looked. Robert Livingstone. I wondered if he was here. I thought not. Gordo would have known, even without the wards. No magic, Osmond said. No wolves. And yet, here you are.
Here I am, I agreed,
waiting for the monster to show himself, to slink out of the dark with fang and claw.
How? He asked again. How can you be the alpha if you can't feel them?
Does it matter? I didn't touch the last part, because it sounded like he didn't know about the bonds, about the threads that tied us all together, and if he didn't know... Osmond narrowed his eyes.
If you could do it, there could be others.
I knew what it was, for the most part. But he didn't need to know that. He didn't need to know that it came from grief and need, that it came from trust and belief, that there were wolves and humans alike who believed in me so much that I couldn't be anything but their alpha, that even though I wasn't a wolf, they trusted me to care for them, to love them, to give them a home and make us a family. It was something Osmond could never understand. It was something Richard would never understand. Because even when he took this from me, even when he ripped this from my chest, he would mangle it and twist it into something unrecognizable. He could be an alpha, but he would never get what it meant to be an alpha. I said, Where is he? I was done with Osmond. I was done with waiting. Osmond said, He'll come when he's ready. I snorted.
Drawing this out, then. Listening as you try and get as much information from me as you can. You're his bitch, Osmond. You've never been anything more than his bitch.
Osmond growled, eyes flashing as he took a step forward.
Chaney, he said coldly, eyes never leaving mine. Just a little bit.
The mean wolf. The large wolf, the wolf holding on to William, grinned, his chin wet with saliva that leaked from his mouth. He dragged his thumb harder against the boy's cheek, splitting it cleanly. The boy shrieked into his gag, blood spilling. It was a thin cut and probably wouldn't even scar, but the wolves smelled the blood and began to gnash their teeth. William's mother tried to lunge for him, but was snapped back by her hair, the Omega behind her, jerking it none too lightly.
Don't, I said hoarsely. Just...
I was distracted. By the wolves. By the humans. By the blood dripping down William's face. It made sense. It was overwhelming. I was surrounded by Omegas who were shifting further and further into their wolves, by Osmond, who looked both defiant and nervous. I was distracted, which is why I didn't hear him coming up behind me. Which is why I didn't anticipate his arm coming up around my chest, pulling me tightly against him. Which is why I didn't expect his other hand to latch itself around my throat, claws digging into my neck. His breath was on my ear. It stank of flesh and blood. Richard Collins said, "Hello, Ox." I closed my eyes, and even though I tried to force it down, my heart tripped and stumbled in my chest. He felt it. He heard it. He chuckled at the sound, the rapid beat. He sounded amused when he said,
"You don't stink of fear. Curious, that."
"Because I'm not afraid of you," I said, even as he tightened his grip around my throat. His front was pressed against my back, his lips near my ear. It was the furthest thing from intimate I'd ever experienced.
"Maybe," he said. "If you aren't, it's only because you've convinced yourself of it. But I can make you scared of me, Ox. Very quickly, if I chose to."
The Omegas in front of us grinned and ran their claws over the heads of the humans at their feet. Osmond watched us warily, eyes flickering violet.
"It's quiet?" Richard asked.
Osmond nodded. "Only him."
"Good," Richard said. "It's a start."
Then,
"Thank you, Ox. I knew I could count on you."
"Fuck you."
"Such kindness. Now for your next trick. I need you to drop the crowbar. You won't be needing it."
I didn't move.
"Ox," he said, voice filled with regret. "I can do this as easy or as hard as you make me. Really, the power is in your hands as to how this can go. Don't you want this to be easy?"
He lied, I knew. Words filled with promise that died in my ears. Nothing about this would be easy.
"Ox, drop the crowbar."
I was an alpha. I was a goddamn alpha. I didn't have time to move or even react when he dropped the arm around my chest, his hand snapping to my wrist. He twisted it brutally, the bones grinding, then breaking. A wave of pain shot up through me, glassy and sharp. My stomach rolled as the crowbar fell to the ground. It kicked up a plume of dust as I gritted my teeth together, trying to swallow back the cry that wanted to fall from my mouth.
"That was unfortunate," Richard said,
and he shoved me down into the dirt. I tasted dirt in my mouth, and for the first time, panic. It started in my chest, a slow roll that crawled through me, little pinpricks that turned into something so much stronger than I'd ever felt before. It wasn't just panic, or at least, not just my own. It was the panic of the pack. The bonds had reopened.
"No, no, no, no,"
Thomas whispered.
"The Alpha's greatest gift to his pack is sacrifice, because he must protect them above all others. At all costs, even if it means his own life."
They would come. As soon as they recovered from the anger, the rage, the pain, they would come. I tried to push the threads down, but they were bright and electric, like live wires. I couldn't push them away, because they were aware. They were coming. And Richard didn't know it. I couldn't take the chance. I couldn't let any of them get hurt. It would take time for them to find me. They thought I was at the garage. Maybe there'd be enough time to... But there was one. One that was brighter than all the others. Closer. Angrier. I felt his fury. I felt his magic. Gordo. Gordo was here. Gordo was here. I rolled over onto my back. The crowbar was off to my left, within reach. Richard towered above me, a look of disgust on his face. I said,
"If I give you this, if you take this from me, you give me your word that you'll leave them alone,
All of them. The pack. The people. Green Creek.
I don't know that you're in a position to ask me for anything, boy,
Richard growled.
You are human. You may be an alpha, but it was never yours to have. I will take it from you, and you will...
Don't you want to know how I did it? I asked, clutching my wrist to my chest. How a human became an alpha? He paused. Then...
I'm listening.
They'll hear, I said. The Omegas. They'll hear and they'll try to do the same. They'll take it from you. They'll try to become an alpha themselves. You don't want that. He crouched down next to me. Stupid man. I hated him more than anything in the world.
You should speak now,
he said in a low voice,
before I run out of patience.
And I said, fuck you. I moved quicker than I ever had before. It was fueled by sorrow and despair, by ire and that feeling, that goddamned feeling of my father, my daddy saying, you're gonna get shit, Ox. Because here he was. Here was Richard fucking Collins, proving my dad right. He was giving me shit, and I wasn't going to take it now. I shouldn't have to begin with. But most of all, it was Pack that pushed me. Pack that allowed me to move as I did. It was Pack and Pack and Pack. These people, these wolves that were my family, and Joe, who I could feel rising within me. Joe, who was scared and furious and coming. Oh God, he was coming for me. I pushed along the thread toward Gordo, stronger than it had been since he'd come back, saying, the humans, the humans, the humans. You can't let them hurt. You have to help them, save them, help them. Even as my fingers curled around the crowbar in the dirt. Richard's eyes flickered to my hand. I swung the crowbar in a rising arc. It smashed into the side of his head with an audible crunch, the breaking of bone jolting down the bar into my arm. He grunted and started to drop to the side. Gordo came then. He stepped out from behind the truck, tattoos blazing brighter than I'd ever seen them before. The raven flapped furiously, and I swore I could actually hear its cry when it opened its beak, a loud, shrill call that vibrated deep into my bones. I felt the thrum of his magic on the ground as it pulsed deep within the earth. It called to me, saying, Alpha, 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 and I pushed into it, grabbing the thread between Gordo and me as tightly as possible. Even before Richard hit the ground, a snarl already forming on his broken face, the ground around the humans and the Omegas shifted and broke apart. Great columns of earth rose up with a loud roar, knocking the humans forward and the Omegas back. Osmond was moving forward as I pushed myself to my feet. His focus was on Gordo, claws outstretched, snout elongating as he ran toward him. I flipped the crowbar until the curved end faced away from me and swung it down at Osmond's legs as he tried to run by. The crowbar smashed into his shins as I put my all into that hit. He cried out at the crack of bone, the sizzle of skin, but I pushed through the swing as hard as I could, sweeping his feet out from under him. He fell forward into the dirt, the momentum causing